spread the word. Today, my title, my message is Just in Time. Just in Time. We serve a just-in-time God who is always just in time. Amen? He's never late. He's never early, but he's never late. Here's a little prophecy I posted on my Facebook and Instagram account. Just in time. My beloved child, I know you feel wearied and emotionally exhausted by the withering season and circumstances you faced. But I've not forgotten you. I've not forsaken you. I'll never fail or disappoint you. My goodness and mercy will never leave you. I'm now releasing a heavenly rain of refreshing on your soul just in time. I will renew your strength like an eagle just in time. I will completely replenish your body and soul with new life and joy just in time. I will restore the years to you and bring back to you everything the enemy has stolen from you just in time. When my children need me the most, I'm always the closest to them. This is the season of a great turnaround and breakthrough for my people, and it will all happen just in time. Turn to someone and say, just in time. My first point is we serve an on-time God. One of the greatest chapters of Scripture is Psalm 46 concerning this topic, and in this, David gives us such beautiful insight. He says, our God is a refuge. He's a shelter from the storm, a strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When trouble comes, God never leaves. When the fire's turned up, he doesn't run from it, he runs to it. In the Bible, there's a great story of the three Hebrew children, three friends of Daniel, who were betrayed by the king because they would not bow to his statue. And the king was so angry, Nebuchadnezzar, that he said, throw them into the furnace. In fact, not just the normal furnace, heated up seven times hotter than normal. And it was so hot as they threw the men into the furnace that the men that threw them died by the blast of heat that hit them. And as Nebuchadnezzar came to gloat and to watch the men who defied him die, he was shocked and he said, how come I see four men? And the fire's not hurt them, but the fourth man is like the Son of Man. He was who was that? Jesus. He showed up when the fire turned up. When the devil turns up the temperature, Jesus shows up to be with you. You'll never be in a storm, a situation, a battle, a circumstance where God's not there. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Help is here. Help is on the way. Therefore, we will not fear. Verse 2, though the earth be removed, here's the picture of an earthquake, a shaking kind of season, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle. Come on, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not hard to get the connection between that verse and the Holy Spirit river, because Jesus said, there shall flow rivers of living waters out of you after you receive the Holy Spirit. So everyone in this room who knows Jesus brought a river with you. And people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you brought a raging, powerful, life-changing river. And as you worship God and as we joined our faith together, that river began to converge together. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. Who the church, his people, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of day. I like that last little sentence. Prayed all night just before the day would break. The breakthrough came. I'm here to tell you, your God is an on-time God, and he's going to come. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fit. Your God's never late. He's always on time. When you need him the most, you can depend on the wonderful Holy Ghost. Don't give up before God shows up. While you're sleeping, God's working. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. I'll show you things you don't know. I've got four kids. They're all millennials. And they all have these smartphones, but they prefer to text. So I can text my kids. They'll text me right back. Hey, Dad. If I call my kids, they never pick up. I'm like, I know you're there. I'm an old man. I'm used to talking with words coming out of my mouth, not texting. They say, oh, Dad, I see you called. Yeah. Pick up the phone. Call upon me. God says, I always pick up. He always picks up when we call. He always answers. He's the always on time, always answering God. Hebrews 13 says this about God, his nature, his promise to us. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't live with a constant hunger for more stuff. But be content with what you have. For Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Many years ago, we went through a great trial. And as that trial unfolded, I said, Lord, I need prophetic words. Please send prophetic words. So I got like 8 or 10 of them. And so the first one came, and someone came from out of town. He said, Pastor, God brought me here out of town to give you the word. I said, oh, God, so good. What is it? The Lord said, he's with you. I said, and? Did he give you a legal strategy? Was there any kind of business act? Did he give you any steps, like a plan? No, he just said to tell you he's with you. Next week, someone shows up, Pastor, I got a word for you. What is it? The Lord is with you. Really? Third prophecy, the Lord is with you. Fourth prophecy, by the time the fifth prophecy, I know the Lord's with me, right? Yeah, how do you know? I'm getting the. I finally figured out, if God's with you, all the other stuff is taken care of. If the healer's with you, then healing's with you. If the helper's with you, then help is with you. If the deliverer's with you, then deliverance is with you. If the provider's with you, then provisions. When he comes, all his stuff comes with him. And it is enough that he is with us. Because he's always more than enough in our circumstance. And the next verse says, so we can then, in light of knowing God's abiding presence, we can say this, that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. The word helper in the Greek is a compound Greek word from two words, cry, to cry and to run. And it means this, when you cry, he runs. If you have kids, you become familiar with different sounds they make. So when you have a baby, there's the hungry cry, feed me! You know, a little anger in it. There's the cranky cry. There's the hurt cry. Oh, that one, you get up and sprint across the room. They've fallen, something's gone wrong. I know that cry. There's a decibel, there's an intensity to it. And I remember I was in my garage working, and I had my back, my little daughter, I don't know, she's just 4 or 5, whatever, and she was riding her bicycle, new bicycle, in a cul-de-sac we lived in. And you know, everything was peaceful, like a Saturday, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, I didn't hear her crash, but I heard her cry, oh, Daddy. And I just turned into Superman. I turned around. Took leap. I just leapt there in one big leap, 50 feet. Picked her up, and she, you know, she skinned her knee. It wasn't a bad hurt, but I responded to the cry. God responds to the cry of his kids. He comes running. He's running to you to help you. He's the on-time God. Galatians 6 says this about God's timing. Let us not grow weary. Let us not become discouraged. Let us not be faint-hearted while doing good. For in due season, New Living Translation says, at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At the right time, So a due season is the appointed moment when God's going to answer a prayer, fulfill a promise, fulfill a dream, fulfill a destiny, fulfill a prophetic word, whatever it is. And our job is to make it there, to overcome discouragement, overcome fatigue, overcome doubt and fear, the things we sang about today, overcoming that, getting there. So that's our task, okay? Because God won't fail us if we don't stop believing him. So there is a time. My second point is this: God's waking up kings in your behalf, people of consequence and influence who God has appointed to open doors and bring breakthrough into your life. So I want you to get this, because while you're sleeping, God's working for you in unseen matters. God will help people change their minds about what they think about you. The Holy Spirit will speak to people on your behalf. Get ready for divine appointments. God will use people who may not know you or even like you to bring blessings and breakthrough to your life. You're about to enter a season of heavenly reward for past years of obedience. Your God is always smarter than your enemies. Like we sang it, even when you can't see it, he's working for you. Esther chapter 6. That night, the king could not sleep. This is King Ahasuerus. Why? God wouldn't let him sleep until he blessed one of his servants, Mordecai. So God knows how to wake up people that are assigned to bless you. Now, this is an important point. Ahasuerus wasn't godly. He wasn't a servant of God. He didn't know God. But God used him anyways. Okay? So one was commanded to bring the book of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. So apparently this was a method of sleep. So it's true today. Read the first couple chapters of Chronicles. It'll put you to sleep. And Benjamin begat Benjamin II and Benjamin Judah. Not belittling the Chronicles, but that's... So he's reading now kind of the record of all, you know, the transactions of business, of the, you know, judicial system, or whatever was happening, just the business of a great kingdom. And verse 2 says, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, doorkeepers, who had sought to assassinate King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing's been done. Now, this is the massive point. Because often in your walk with God, there's a gap between your obedience and your reward. Oh, Pastor, I gave extra money, nothing happened. I know, but you just gave it 30 minutes ago. You got it. Sometimes there is a gap. And it doesn't matter who didn't notice. God never misses. You know, Jesus said, when you do good for folks, don't call attention to it. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I'm giving this person $10.
Amen. Don't Instagram it. You don't have to. Why? God notices. So if we live with the constant thought that that God sees everything, and that we want to please and serve and obey him and not be defined or confined or controlled by people's opinions, man, that's where we move. And so Mordecai had done, he had saved a man's life, and nobody even thanked him for it. You with me? That's a pretty good thing. I mean, if one of your employees saved your life, you might at least pat him on thanks. No notice, no recognition, no reward. Until one night, weeks, months, I don't know, years later, until one night when God wouldn't let the king sleep. I wonder how God kept him awake. Tickling angels. trumpets, I don't know, some device. If it was Mary, it'd be something a little ornery. Cockroaches in his bed. My wife actually put a plastic cockroach in the pastor's wife's plate at the restaurant. And it was worth it. It was worth it. She started screaming. The waitress started screaming. My wife's laughing, falling down laughing. I know what's going on and pretending I don't know her. That really happened. What's been done for this man? Nothing's been done. And the king said, that's wrong. And said, verse 4, who's in the court? Who's available now? And Haman had just entered the court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai and the gallows Haman had prepared for him. 50 cubits high. Anti-Semitism is a demonic evil. We keep crushing it. It keeps coming back. It's amazing how many people have a unreasonable hostility toward Jewish people. And if that's in you, you want to get rid of it. And if you know someone that has it, you maybe want to gently rebuke them. You know, just call them a bigot. Millennial language. So the king's servant said, Haman's here, standing in the court. And the king said, bring him in. And so Haman came in, and the king asked him, saying, what shall be done for the man in whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? You know, the good thing about a narcissist, you can always depend on them for being consistent.
It's all about me.
And so he says, it's got to be about me. And so Haman gives him his own heart's longing. Let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man in whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback throughout the whole city square and proclaim before him, this thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. So there's so much there, because Haman shows us he wanted to be king. He says, give me your robe, give me your horse, give me your seal, and then give me your fame. And then everything switches to the next verse. Then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone, all you have spoken. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him by horseback to the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done to the man in whom the king delights to honor. Man, you've not lived till God makes your enemies bless you. No, there are a couple of points here, that because your God is always smarter than your enemy. Your God is smarter than your enemy. So Mordecai had been plotting now for some weeks, some months. He had built this high gallows. It was now ready. He was now pulling the lever on his plot. When every time the enemy unleashes a plot against you, heaven releases a plan to overcome that plot. Come on. He turns it for good. Your God works all things together for good. Joseph said this in Genesis 50:20. As for you to his family, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Romans 8 says this, we know all things work together for good. If it's not good yet, it's just not done yet. I need, Pastor Joey, can you help me? I'm going to ask you to be Haman. I know it's a big stretch. I don't see Pastor Christian. So go to that back door over there, and I'm going to pick. I know Pastor Bob's just barely in town. Pastor Bob, can you help me? Pastor Bob's going to be Mordecai. And Pastor Sam, can I borrow you? Pastor Sam's going to be Esther. That's not much of a stretch. So follow me, Esther and Mordecai, my friend. Back here, we're going to go back over here. So just back against that back wall. So simultaneously, so everybody, look over there at Haman. Haman built a gallows 50 cubits high. Now, that's overkill. So he built a gallows 7 stories high. Why? He was calling attention to his act of anti-Semitic murder because he didn't just want to kill Mordecai. He wanted to kill every Jew in Babylon. So Haman's over there, and everyone's looking at the negative. And while all of the city's looking at the negative, over here, God was raising up his solution. Because every time the devil unleashes a destructive Haman, God unleashes a delivering Mordecai and Esther. So just start walking down the aisle, would you, slowly, Bob and Sam, and yeah. So they're coming. They're coming to the stage of history. They're coming to a moment of convergence. They're going to meet on the stage of life at exactly the same moment. Haman's come to kill. But God has been preparing this queen, Esther, and this godly uncle that raised her like a father, Mordecai. Esther was an orphan. God had been preparing them. And so let's just come up on the stage together. So here comes Haman's on the stage. And at the exact same time Haman's on the stage, God brings Mordecai and Esther on the stage. I just want to say this to you. God knows how to bring the right people at the right moment into the stage of your life to offset, to overcome, to undo what the enemy is trying to do. I don't know what the devil's doing. I just know God's got an Esther. God's got a Mordecai. Now, I want to say this kind of also attached to that. You're supposed to be an Esther and Mordecai yourself. That you are the answer to someone's prayer. And God's putting you into certain circumstances. And instead of praying for God to take you out, let God show you why you're there. You're there to pray an Esther prayer. You're there to pray a Mordecai prayer. And God, they converged, and you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. Come on. I've had this happen a few times in ministry when someone gave me a large gift and they said, you know, I don't really enjoy your ministry. But the Lord's really provoked me. I have to do this thing. And I'm thinking, I don't know what to say. Can't wait to cash the check. It's funny. But God will use strange characters. You're praying for a miracle and someone strange you. You don't look like my miracle. But God will use them. And like Ahasuerus, they may not know God. Ahasuerus was just honoring someone who saved his life. That was Mordecai. There comes a time, church, when your past obedience will be rewarded. Don't give up until that day shows up. Come on. There's stuff you've done 10, 15, 20 years ago out of obedience to God, or some months ago you did something, and it's going to show up in your story in some outcome, and you'll be able to tie it together. I've been, I think, 19 or 20 times in New Zealand in 4 years, 4.5 years. Outrageous. I don't know why God's opened up New Zealand. So I was talking to these pastors, and I said, I don't know why. I God's given me incredible favor in New Zealand. In a few months, I'll be at the biggest church there, which I'm not just saying that. I'll doing their conference. It's just unbelievable stuff. So I was telling this couple, and they both started laughing. And they said, don't tell me you forgot. I said, forgot what? He said, 1992, we were members of your church, David and Linda Disram, wonderful people. 93. And they felt led to go to New Zealand to start a ministry to do things for God. And they didn't have the finance. They were asking for pastoral guidance. Well, they said, I just reached into my pocket, pulled out my American Express card. Back then when my wife allowed me to have one. And I said, whatever it takes, ticket-wise, for you, whatever expenses you need, put it on my card. And so one act of obedience 27 years ago. And now I've been in that country in the last 4 years 20 times. Come on. Come on. And that's my invitation. It's outrageous how God orchestrates all this. But I'm just saying, don't give up before God's done weaving it together. Because if it's not together yet, that just means he's not done yet. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, team. I'm all done. And I just want to say this to you. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Your story's not over. I pray for a heavenly infusion of hope in every person that feels kind of exhausted, depleted, or wearied, because things haven't happened yet. Things haven't happened yet. You did the right thing. You've been doing the right thing with God. Don't quit now. Somewhere unseen in your story, you haven't seen, they haven't got here yet, but there's an Esther or Mordecai about to enter your world. There's a king about to wake up with your name in his mind. God has an offsetting, overcoming, defeating strategy to conquer what the enemy's done. Let him do it. Amen.